Welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church in Duncanville, Texas. Today we continue our sermon series, Waiting with God. We'll explore how this time of waiting is an opportunity for us to deepen our friendship with God and experience spiritual renewal. Please join us now for the message, God in the Silence. Good morning and welcome to worship here at Trinity United Methodist Church in Duncanville, Texas. I'm Jane Grainer. I'm the senior pastor.
I'm Wesley McCall. I'm the music director.
And we're so happy that you have joined us for worship this morning. As usual, we have an interactive broadcast. If you have any prayer concerns, any joys, concerns, or blessings, please post them to Facebook and we will lift those up later in our service. Also, if you haven't so far this week, we invite you to go on our Church Center app and make an offering toward the ministry of this church. We would deeply appreciate that. On September 6th, coming up, that's first Sunday in September, we are going to do a reprise of our communion, where we'll have both in-person communion on our outdoors and our church facilities, as well as an online communion for those of you at home. And our recipient for our rail offering this time is going to be the Dallas Bethlehem Center. And that's a social service agency that serves our neighbors in the Fair Park, South Dallas area. So on September 6th, be here at 9 o'clock back in our back lot there at our church, and we are going to have communion together. If you want to stay there at home, just get your bread and your grape juice or wine ready, and you can join us for communion online. And that's going to be at 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock on Sunday, September 6th. Also then that week on September 9th, we're going to be starting a church-wide study on the United Methodist Social Principles. And that'll be Wednesdays, 7 o'clock on Zoom. And we'll have those links for you in the newsletter that we're going to be putting out this week. I think that's it. For now, I'll just say we still have no idea when we're going to be having in-person worship services again. The bishop has made no more announcements on that, and so we're just going to keep plugging ahead here on doing online worship on Facebook, and we're, again, happy that you've joined us with us today.
From Psalm 42, as a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me continually, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I went with the throng and led them in procession to the house of God, with glad shouts and songs of thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall praise him, and my help and my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the thunder of your cataracts. All your waves and your billows have gone over me. By day, the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him and help in my God. Our opening prayer for this morning. We often feel as if we are wandering through our lives, searching for something we cannot name. We come today to listen for hope, to pray for strength, and to experience God's love. As the deer longs for flowing waters in the wilderness, we long to drink deeply of God's promises for us. Knowing God is here, we join together on our journey. Lead us to your still waters, O Lord, so we may celebrate the God of hope, the Spirit of peace, and the Christ of redeeming love. Amen.
Amen. And though we cannot be together in the same space, we are together in the same time, so I grant you, peace be with you.
And also with you. Our prayer of illumination for this morning. Holy God, author of the Word made flesh, open us to your Holy Spirit, that as Scripture is spoken and your Word proclaimed, we may be comforted, convinced, and changed to the glory of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Our scripture this morning comes from 1 Kings chapter 19. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So may the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid. He got up and fled for his life. He came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. He left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him, and said, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of God. At that place he came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram. Also you shall anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and you shall anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat of Abel-Mehalah, as prophet of your place. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Now, one of the things you may not know about me is that actually I'm rather sentimental. It can be hard for me to leave people or places that I love, and sometimes I have a very hard time cleaning things out. I look at something and everything for me sparks joy. Well, not really. That's not really true. But my sentimentality, along with my sister's sentimentality, made it hard for us to clean out our parents' house after they passed away. It can be gut-wrenching to go through a loved one's things. It can be like, bit by bit, you're losing them all over again. Before becoming a pastor, I was a member of First United Methodist Church in Denton for many years. While I was there, I was involved in virtually, to some degree, every aspect of ministry at that church. But when an opportunity came up for me to be hired on church staff, there arose a contingent of people who opposed me being hired. Controversy ensued, the hire never went through, and I decided to accept a job offer in another church. At the time, I felt like I was making the right decision by leaving First Denton. In hindsight, I know I was making the right decision. I don't think I would be a pastor now if I had not left. But leaving there, it tore me up. I was very attached to that church, and I loved its people a great deal, very much. A few months later, after I left, I was thumbing through a church directory of First UMC, and on each page, as I turned it, there was a photo of at least one person, and often several people on that page, who had loved and supported me, either by their words or through sending me cards and letters, or just by their presence. And so tears started coming down my cheeks as I remembered my old church family, and I longed to be with them again and to see them again. Well, this feeling of longing is just part of the human condition, and much of our longing is in the form of grief. We grieve over those whom we will never see again. Our church has been in a lot of grief these last few weeks over the death of our beloved friend and church pillar, Walter Wilcox. And we grieve the people that we miss, but we also grieve things like former churches or homes or jobs. We grieve for what might have been, if only. But not all longing, though, is in a form of grief. In the psalm that Wesley read at the beginning of our service, the writer longs for God, just as a deer longs for flowing streams. It says, "My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me continually, 'Where is your God?'" You see, God designed us to have a sense of longing, to never be quite satisfied. I've been thinking a lot this week about the creation story from Genesis chapter 2 because it was the text for my homily for Walter's memorial service. And it reads, "In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, when no plant of the field was yet in the earth and no herb of the field had yet sprung up, then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed." Now the text says that when God breathed life into this man, he became a living being. Now the word here that's translated as living being is actually the Hebrew word nephesh. And the word nephesh is related to other Hebrew words that refer to kind of the mouth and the throat area. You see, nephesh literally means a bundle of appetites. God created us as bundles of appetite. We are, by our very nature, bundles of appetite. We were born wanting more. We're born with longings, physical, emotional, and spiritual. We're designed to never be quite satisfied. Well, our appetites and longings, they're not bad or wrong or sinful. They reflect how we were made, and we need to acknowledge them. But we also need to exercise caution that we fulfill our longings in ways that are healthy and whole and ethical. Well, like our psalm writer, the prophet Elijah had a longing to be with God. But by the time we meet him in chapter 19 of 1 Kings, Elijah's been through a lot by this time. You see, Elijah was a prophet during the reign of King Ahab of Israel. And King Ahab had married the daughter of the king of Sidon, the infamous Queen Jezebel. And she convinced Ahab to worship the god Baal, who was the Canaanite god of both storms and fertility. And Ahab even built a temple to Baal there in the land of Israel. Well, this really ticked off the Lord God. So the Lord God had Elijah prophesied that there would be no rain in the land for 3 years, and as a result, there was going to be a severe famine in the land. Let's just see if Baal, the god of storms, will be able to make it rain. Well, in the third year of the drought, Elijah presented himself again to King Ahab, and as soon as Ahab saw Elijah, he said, "Is it you, the troubler of Israel?" And Elijah just snapped right back, "I have not troubled Israel, but you have, and your father's house, because you've forsaken the commandments of the Lord and followed the Baals. Now, therefore, have all Israel assembled for me at Mount Carmel with the 450 prophets of Baal." So everyone shows up at Mount Carmel, where the Lord would show them who was really God. Both Elijah and the prophets of Baal would each slaughter a bull, throw it on the grill, and see which God would provide fire for the sacrifice. Well, the prophets of Baal went first. They prayed to Baal to light the sacrifice. They lifted up their voices. They danced and pranced around the altar. Then they started cutting themselves with knives until the blood flowed. But there was no fire from Baal that came from the sky. Elijah at this point does a little trash talk. He says, "Cry aloud, surely he is a god. Either he's meditating, or he's wandered away, or he's on a journey, or perhaps he's sleeping and needs to be awakened. Well, this goes on for most of the day, but nothing happens. And so now it's Elijah's turn. He lays the bull on the altar, and then he has the altar and the entire area around the altar doused with water 3 times. Then Elijah prays a simple prayer, and fire comes down from heaven, consumes the bull, the altar, and all of the water. Well, at this, the people all agree now that the Lord is the true God. And then they take the 450 prophets of Baal and then smite them with the sword. Well, now this ticks off Queen Jezebel. And so she puts out a death warrant for Elijah. And so this is where we pick up the story in chapter 19. And Elijah is now terrified and he runs for his life. He runs south to Beersheba, which is in the kingdom of Judah. And there he collapses under a tree and he just prays for death. Well, there the Lord, through an angel, gives him food and water. And so now refreshed, Elijah continues his trek south until he gets to Mount Horeb, which we also know as Mount Sinai. This is where generations before the law had been revealed to the prophet Moses. And there Elijah finds a cave and he spends the night. Well, while he's there in the cave, God calls out to Elijah. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he answered, "I've been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they're seeking my life to take it away." So God said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." And now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle, went out, and stood at the entrance of the cave. Well, a sound of sheer silence kind of sounds like a Simon and Garfunkel song, but that's how the New Revised Standard Version translates this phrase. The traditional translation is that Elijah heard a still, small voice, and other translations of the Bible say that it was a gentle whisper or a soft, murmuring sound. Well, regardless of the exact meaning of this phrase, it certainly implies that only now is Elijah ready to hear what the Lord has to say. So even though Elijah has the desire, the appetite to talk to God, Elijah had to be ready to hear what God had to say. Elijah had to quit running. He had to have the sustenance of food and water. And then he had to get quiet. He had to realize that God was not in the wind or the earthquake or the fire. God was not in the loudness or the flashy, or not in what appears to be powerful. Baal is the god of storms. The Lord God is the God of steadfast love. Now, we're in a time of waiting right now. We're waiting for this pandemic to be over. We're waiting for the results of the upcoming elections. We're waiting to feel normal or even just hopeful again. But God waits with us. And God will continue to wait with us and take care of us until we can all quiet ourselves down long enough to hear that still, small voice. You see, we want to commune with God, but loudness and busyness just gets in our way. For Elijah, it was the wind, the earthquake, and the fire. For us, it's often the loudness of social media or that talking head on the TV. One of the trends that I have really grown to hate is the trend that now doctor's offices all have these TVs blaring in their waiting rooms. I actually miss sitting quietly and perusing an interesting magazine that I might not normally ever get to read, but I think it's a sign of the times. There's something about the silence that we find threatening. So we listen to noise as we wait. Because if we've really quieted down, what is it that we would hear? If we sit and wait with God, what might we have to confront? We long for God at the same time that we push God away, and we do everything we can to avoid the quiet. So, what did Elijah hear once he quieted down? What are you doing here, Elijah? And Elijah says the same words again. I've been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with a sword. I alone am left, and they're seeking my life to take it away. Same words Elijah said earlier, but now he's ready to hear the Lord's reply. And God tells him to leave the cave, to go anoint Hazael, king of Aram, and Jehu, king of Israel, and then to anoint Elisha as a prophet and as his disciple and successor. Then God tells him that he is not alone. He is not the only one who has been faithful to the Lord. And even right now, there are in fact 7,000 in Israel who have not bowed to Baal. As one commentator wrote about this passage, God's prophetic call to Israel was longer and more complex than Elijah understood. It wasn't to end gloriously on the mountaintop. God's call to Israel would echo through generations. Benedictine spirituality is a Christian form of spiritual practice that dates back 1,500 years, and its primary text is called the Rule of Saint Benedict, and it begins with these words, "Listen carefully, my child, to my instructions, and attend with them with the ear of your heart. This is the advice from one who loves you. Welcome it and faithfully put it into practice." Notice that the first thing it says is listen carefully. Now, Joan Chittister is an American author and activist for peace, justice, and equality. And she's also a Benedictine nun who has written extensively on Benedictine spirituality. And her book on the subject contains this insight. Benedictine spirituality forms us to listen always for the voice of God. When my own noise is what drowns the word out, the spiritual life becomes a sham. Now, make no doubt about it, the ability to listen to another, to sit quietly in the presence of God, to give sober heed and to ponder is the nucleus of Benedictine spirituality. You see, we are all bundles of appetite. We are made for longing. These longings keep us alive and motivate us to search for God. But what we must always remember is that God is always right there, already there for us in the time of our waiting. And as the psalmist said, "Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God." Amen.
Song where we as thirst and hunger die, the Lamb becomes our Shepherd King. We'll reign with Him, hear heaven's voices sing, their thunderous anthem rings through emerald courts and sapphire skies. Their praises rise. All glory, wisdom, power, strength, thanks, and honor are to God our King, who reigns on high forevermore. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. All glory, wisdom, power, strength, thanks, and honor are to God our King, who reigns on high forevermore. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Wow, that was great. That was Randall Capshaw, and also our own Luke Colbert. Thank you very much. That was a great treat for us. But now we want to approach the Lord in prayer, and I know many of you are remembering that we want to keep the Wilcox family in our prayers. Sarah and the kids and grandkids are down in Wimberley just trying to take rest together as a family. And so we want to hope that they are able to rest up and continue. We also want to lift up the Platts family. Tim's brother John died this last week. We've been praying for him off and on now for quite some time. But he finally did pass away. So we want to make sure and keep both the Wilcox and the Platts families in our prayers during this time when they have lost loved ones. And so I will say, Lord, in your mercy, and you'll respond, hear our prayer. So for the Wilcox and Platts family, Lord, hear our mercy. Or excuse me. Lord, in your mercy. We also want to be praying for those who are also impacted by COVID-19. Susan Rickner's grandson and her girlfriend are recovering from COVID, and so we want to pray for them to get some negative test results. We also have people that are starting school and work, and we want to be praying for them, particularly a prayer request here for Tristan Platts as he begins virtual school, and a prayer for Ann Barnes' daughter, Michelle, because she begins teaching online and in person and is nervous. So we want to keep, again, all of our educators, all of our students, in our prayers as they go through this time of transition, some online, some in person, and all of it enough to make anybody nervous. So for all of our educators and our students, Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Also, we've been praying, we want to keep praying for Jerry Rogers as she continues to recover from her stroke and to keep her in our prayers. We've also had church members who have had surgery recently, just this last week. Evelyn Tanner had her knee replaced on Tuesday. My sister Lane, who broke her ankle in three places on her first day of her vacation in Colorado, she had her surgery on Thursday. So for those who have continued to recover and or have had surgery, Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Also, we want to be keeping Kevin Hennings in our prayer as he continues to fight against his liver cancer. And also to keep, we've been praying for my colleague, Martha Valencia. Martha has recovered from COVID, but unfortunately her mother, Louisa, has died of COVID this last week. And so we want to keep Martha and her family in our prayers as well. So, Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
We want to also pray for those who are being affected by natural disasters. We have two hurricanes headed for the Gulf Coast right now, and we have massive wildfires right now in California. So for all of those who are dealing right now with natural disasters, Lord, in your mercy. I don't want us just to keep all of our leaders in our prayers, our local, state, national, international leaders in government, science, medicine, and education. All of our leaders need our prayers right now. And so we would ask for God's blessings upon our leaders that they make the right decisions. And so, Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
And we also want to then pray for God's blessings for the offerings that we have received in this last week, so that they may be lifted up to God and for God's purposes. And so now, with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray the prayer that our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Just to remind you of some announcements to make. Remember that up here at the church, we still have two learning kiosks, both for LGBTQ issues as well as for racism. And I hope that all of y'all now have read or are starting to read at least one book on racism in the year 2020. And our book study on right fragility has one more week to go. And so next Sunday, our guest facilitator is going to be the Reverend Ann Barton. And she's from the North Texas Conference Anti-Racism Team. And so that'll be starting 9:30 this coming Sunday. And then also remember that the Upper Room Disciplines continues as it's ongoing every Sunday at 9:30. And that's via Skype with Mo Tanner. And of course, again, September 9th, we'll start our evening study on the United Methodist Social Principles. So keep those opportunities then in your mind going forward. And again, we want to thank Randall Capshaw for being with us here today. And so, now, please accept or receive this benediction. In the spirit of God's unchanging love, live the stories of faith that we've heard this day. In the melody of God's song within us, sing the faith that we have received this day. In the hope of God's unfailing help, share the grace that has touched us this day. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Go in peace, love your neighbor, wear a mask. We hope you enjoyed today's service and that you experience God's blessings. Join us next Sunday here on Facebook Live at 11 a.m. Next week, we'll wrap up our sermon series, Waiting with God. If you can't join us live, you can always listen to the recording of our service. You can find that on the podcast, Jane's Most Excellent Church Adventure. God bless you in the week ahead and stay safe. We'll see you Sunday at Trinity United Methodist Church.